Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Dr. Michael Brown explained on our August 17th program the dangers of the pro-LGBT quote-unquote Christian conference Revoice and the increasing move we see of denominations embracing the concept that one can be a practicing homosexual as well as a Christian. Is all lost? Is no one offering a biblical response to this dangerous reinterpretation of Scripture? The answers are no, all is not lost, and yes, someone is offering a biblical response to this LGBT onslaught against the church. My guest today is Stephen Black. He's executive director of First Stone Ministries in Oklahoma City, and he's helping spearhead an effort to address this reinterpretation of Scripture by Revoice. Thanks, Stephen, for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Diane.
And you guys are in Oklahoma City, and what is First Stone Ministries? Let's just start with that.
Okay, yeah. First Stone gets its name from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 7, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So in 1976, it was one of the founding ministries of the Exodus Network. Mom and dad went to the church to try to find help. They didn't find help. Mm-hmm. And so they formed this little parachurch to help family and friends deal with having gay-identified children. Since then, in 1990, First Stone became a full-time pastoral care, discipleship, and support group ministry, helping anybody with dealing with any form of sexual relational brokenness. But because we are part of Exodus and even now part of the Restored Hope Network, we probably, half of our counseling pastoral load is people dealing with same-sex attraction or gender confusion.
Wow. I mean, there's definitely, especially the gender confusion thing, has taken the nation by storm. We need ministries like yours to do that, to address this. Of course, the media is all pro-LGBT, you know, pro-homosexual, et cetera, et cetera. And actually deeming ministries such as yours as being hateful and discriminatory, bigoted, et cetera, not allowing these individuals to live their lives as they were actually born. I mean, I can't imagine the type of negative feedback you guys get because of the work you're doing for the Lord and helping these individuals.
Yeah, it's almost daily now. It didn't used to be this bad, but it has ramped up with social media, mm-hmm. with Twitter, with Facebook, with email. It's literally daily now.
Yeah.
So it is sad because actually everybody on our staff has great empathy because we've actually been there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just having a human compassion and sympathy, which are good things, but the reality is that we know what it takes to find freedom.
Yeah.
And, you know, pacifying people with this whole new nuanced idea of having lust and desires and putting Christ before it, calling it gay Christian or LGBTQ Christian, is not helping anyone. And the church needs to realize, especially the onslaught of what is coming against our youth group leaders. There's many conferences now being held for youth group leaders to promote this idea that people have an orientation,
mm-hmm.
and that if the church is going to be compassionate and loving, then we need to make room for this. And the opposite is true, is that we don't need to be making room for it. What we need to be making room for is discipleship care,
yeah.
Of people that are confused and are dealing with, you know, lust and sexual brokenness.
Absolutely.
But not to pacify and to, somehow accommodate the LGBTQ plus, and people
mm-hmm.
should really pay attention to that plus sign.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got the American Psychiatric Association. Psychologists and psychiatrists are now saying that there is a new orientation called MAPS or YAPS. So you got MAPs and the YAPs, which are the minor attracted person and youth attracted person, which is just a new way of promoting the idea of pedophilia.
Yeah, I've heard of
that. That's why
the God's Voice
Conference is so important,
mm-hmm.
to give hope and to equipping of the church.
And how well has the church done as a whole? In even before the Revoice Conference, which was in St. Louis, I think in July, and
yeah.
that was definitely promoting the idea that you could be homosexual, practicing homosexual, and Christian. You know, they were promoting the concept that quote-unquote gay Christian. Even before that, which was a major, I think the first conference that specifically targeted the church with the message that, you know, you guys are misinterpreting scripture for all these eons of time, and we have it right, and scripture does not condemn homosexual acts, which we know that's totally false. But prior to the Revoice Conference, how well was the church doing in addressing the homosexual issue, the transgender issue? Were they doing a good job, or were they just kind of hoping it went away?
Yeah, the church at large has never done a very good job on human sexuality. And, you know, you've got some pockets of the church that do an excellent job. But the church at large is always, unfortunately, because of the nature of sexual sin, also deals with the shame of it and trying to, you know, do a good job of navigating, you know, holiness. Unfortunately, the church has not done a forthright job at equipping people to really navigate the sinful desires of humanity in regard to sexuality. So then multiply that by, you know, dozens of times in dealing with homosexuality and other forms of gender confusion, and they're listening to the world, a lot of people in the church, and getting their cues and their direction from the LGBT community that are embracing, you know, what's called a Christian identity and a gay identity mixture. And you've got some of these people that are calling themselves celibate, but when you put it all together, you start seeing that the people that are side A, they call themselves side A, and side A being, you know, an active gay person participating in homosexual acts, and Christian, and side B, they call themselves a celibate. Well, they're all hanging out together, and they're all, you know, doing conferences together, and they're, you know, so it's very nuanced, ambiguous, and, you know, to the unsuspecting, and really pretty much a person who has not spent time in this area of ministry are, you know, sucked in by this revoicing or this idea of gay Christianity.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has been going on since the 70s as well with the MCC. And, you know, back then, you know, the church theologically was pretty sound.
Right.
And understood that, you know, that, you know, there wasn't such thing as a gay Christian.
Yeah,
but now it's just gotten worse and worse and worse to where we have people in pretty high places in the church that are giving a pass on some of this.
Yeah,
so
that's
very important to educate people and to really bring clarity on how to and understand, how to minister and understand the theology around this entire issue.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just going to throw in there, the MCC is Metropolitan Community Church. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes,
Which was considered the gay church. I mean, that was started by two homosexual men, I think. But it's definitely expanded beyond the Metropolitan Community Church. I know the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest homosexual lobby group, has had an ongoing campaign to target the church. And that's been going on for several years. But you're saying the Metropolitan Community Church has played a big role in attacking
you've got people like Matthew Vines now and Justin Lee with the Gay Christian Network.
Okay.
Of course, he's no longer there. That was we don't know exactly what happened there, but it was hush-hush, and he quietly left. But still promotes the idea of gay Christianity and is a spokesperson for that. The Reformation Project with Matthew Vines is very dangerous. It basically is training well-meaning and even compassionate Christians to embrace gay Christianity and homosexual behavior, and a very whimsical, if you did not know the Bible very well, it's very deceptive in its presentations, to the place where there's the communication. You become a member stealthily in a local church, become a gay Christian, and then if the church doesn't accept you, then perhaps there can be recourses to actually force the church and even sue the church. So there's a lot of deceptive stuff that's going on out there. And again, another reason why people need to be educated into understanding some of the history of this, which that's what will happen at God's Voice, the God's Voice Conference, the understanding of homosexuality, the reason why the scripture is so important, confronting the idea of orientation, because what we saw with Exodus and what we see with a lot of this is the taking of grace and the message of grace to where it becomes antinomianism, which is hyper-grace, which is really against the law is what antinomianism means, is against the law. So you just live this grace existence, and it really doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe in Jesus. And then you take orientation, the psychological piece, and mix that together, and on the other side you come out with gay Christian. Mm. And so this is what's being promoted. We've got Mark Yarhouse's paper that is now being used in some pretty high places in the church, in the Southern Baptist Convention, in the Presbyterian Church of America, Acts 29 people, the Gospel Coalition, where they're embracing this idea that very few people are going to change their orientation, so we need to accept them as gay Christians. And this is hitting the church by storm. It's hitting the church like a tsunami, and that's why God's Voice Conference is being raised up to actually address all of these issues.
Yeah, wasn't the concern of the Revoice Conference first voiced by a Southern Baptist Convention member, our pastor?
That's right. His name is Tom Littleton, okay. And he's one of the speakers at
God's Voice.
He was actually asked he was removed from the Southern Baptist Convention because he wanted to ask questions about the heads of the ERLC about this whole gay Christianity thing.
So he was
so
a member of the...
instead of letting him ask the questions, they had him removed from the conference.
He rose concerns about the Revoice Conference. Was that what it
right.
was? Okay. And Southern Baptist...
he's the one that kind of exposed what was going on and actually some of the players and connections to Revoice, which is actually pretty disturbing.
That's for sure. I mean, you've named all these different organizations and different authors like Mark Yarhouse and Matthew Vine has written, I think, written several books too. Definitely there's an onslaught of there's an attack on the church to try to convince the church as a whole that they've been wrong on the homosexual issue and it's okay to be a gay Christian. Is there any other sin that, like, any other Christians who identify as, like, an adulterous Christian or a murdering Christian or anything like that? I can't think of any.
I mean, it just takes somebody to just take a pause on this and to think about it, that anybody would put something of a word construct of something that the scripture actually says is abominable behavior, like homosexuality, and put it before the word Christ.
Yeah.
It should give pause, because we would never do that with any other form of quote-unquote orientation. If a person had an orientation or a desire, which really is what orientation means, is a burning or fixed desire in a person to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody had a lust towards children, we would not say they're just a youth attracted person Christian and we just need to accept that, or a pedophile.
Yeah.
And most people would say that that's outrageous, and yet now here we have LGBT with the Q and the plus sign Christianity, and it really should be noted that this is moving forward in some pretty high, what we would expect to be very solid biblical Orthodox Christianity, like the Presbyterian Church of America,
where you had the
Revoice Conference actually held at Memorial Presbyterian Church in St. Louis, and that their pastor, Greg Johnson, fully embraced it and even talked about in one radio interview about having a conference for pedophilia Christians. And so, you can't even make this stuff up. It's so bad.
The church is,
and yet most of the church is asleep about this stuff.
That's for sure. I mean, and I had heard of MAPS. I'd heard of minor attracted persons, but I'd never heard of YAPS.
Yeah.
So,
youth attracted persons.
Yeah.
So it's prepubescent and postpubescent attracted people.
And the APA is kind of pushing this, or kind of behind the concept that it's okay.
They're looking at legitimizing that there is an orientation.
Okay, that orientation thing is going to... okay, let's concentrate on the... We've got the bad news. So the good news is that there's a God's Voice Conference in Oklahoma City. Give us the dates on that, some of the info.
Yeah, that's going to be February 22nd and 23rd. And it's a relatively very inexpensive conference. It's $75.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be Friday night and then all day Saturday into Saturday night.
Okay, Friday till about 9 o'clock or so, and then all day Saturday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. And it's going to be at the Fairview Baptist Church, northwest
right at North Edmond, right off of I-35.
Okay. kind of north of Oklahoma City. Wow. And speakers, who are some of the speakers you have lined up so far?
Yeah, we've got some excellent speakers. Janet Medford is a radio host. She's going to be speaking. We have a lady from England, Andrea Williams, who is a part of the Christian Concern and Christian Legal Center. And what she will be bringing is an excellent piece of seeing what has happened in England and what they're like 5 to 10 years ahead of us in this whole gay Christian thing. Reverend Al Baker, who's an ordained Presbyterian Church of America pastor, he's going to be coming and sharing about this is affecting the Presbyterian Church. Of course, I mentioned Tom Littleton, who's a Southern Baptist evangelist and pastor. And then Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez, who is a teacher at Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. And he will be bringing his own perspective coming from and out of being raised in a gay home and being introduced to the homosexual community as a young man and how Jesus radically saved him. But he also brings a very good biblical and theological foundation. And then Peter LaBarbera, who is the founder and president of Americans for Truth, about homosexuality, will be bringing a great piece on the history of the LGBTQ movement. And then yours truly, coming from the pastoral care position as an ordained minister myself, will be bringing the part of really the gospel to the sexually and relationally broken and how the church needs to be, you know, very, very firm and yet compassionate in giving hope.
Yeah. And the church, in their silence, they are not giving hope to these individuals, not just those caught up in the sin of homosexuality, but the church too many times does not want to address the issue of sin, period, no matter what the sin is. And that's not delivering hope. These folks are wanting some hope, especially if they're, you know, yearning to have another answer to their problems, and they need a biblical, strong biblical answer to the sin that they're engaging in. And the church is failing them miserably by not being willing to address the issue of sin as a whole. If the church had been doing its job, the church again as a whole, because as you're saying, there are some good churches out there who are teaching and encouraging discipleship, encouraging their members to grow in the Lord. If the church had done a better job of this, Christians, and if Christians had taken the message seriously from those churches that are encouraging this, we wouldn't be in this situation. Too many Christians here in America, they're not biblically literate. There are too many who are biblically illiterate, and that's why these organizations, that's why these authors and speakers who are pushing this concept that someone can be a gay Christian, Christians here in America were biblically literate, that idea would be going nowhere.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the church really does need to be equipped to really overcome fear. I really think when you look at the landscape of everything that's going on, Diane, is we're dealing with a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid of being labeled a cruel or unkind term. When Christians really, for the most part, are people that really do love people, love God, and that's the last thing that they want to be labeled as. Is unkind and unloving, when that's the very motive of their lives is to become more loving and more kind like Jesus. But the problem is when this level of deception comes and begins to hit the church like it is, the most loving thing we can do is warn people. It's kind of like the person, you know, walking by a house on fire. You don't just in breathy tones go fire. Mm. You scream at the top of your lungs to say fire. And it really is this place in the church right now where we have a lot of passive people and even passive pastors that are in breathy tones saying kind of, you know, they want to be, you know, kind. And so they're kind of saying fire under their breath as a warning, which is not helping. They need to be saying at the top of their lungs that this is wrong, that anyone who practices sexual immorality, who is a greedy, covetous person or an idolater, is what Ephesians 5:5 says. It says that you can know with certainty that no one who practices such behavior of any form of sexual impurity is going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And then verse 6 says right after that, do not be deceived by empty words of people who are practicing these things, because the wrath of God is on those who live in such sinful behaviors.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to be a church that really loves people, we must equip them, yes, with kindness, but speaking the truth boldly, because speaking truth boldly is love. And, you know, people used to say, well, just speak the truth in love. Well, yes, but if you're not speaking the truth in boldness, then you're not speaking the truth in love.
That's for sure.
You're speaking the truth in ways that are accommodating the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a message the Lord has really put on my heart lately, is that we must be speaking the truth boldly, because that is love.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you don't have to be mean or cruel, and your motivation of love needs to be intact. But if you're not speaking the truth boldly, then you're not loving people.
Yeah, that's true. And today's world needs to be full of bold-speaking truth speakers.
That's right.
We need more of those in the church who are not afraid of the possibility that they'll be called names, because the LGBT activists would be more than willing to call Christians who speak the truth names.
Well, what's difficult is when it's in the church itself.
Yeah.
When you've got church members who have gay-identified loved ones, mm-hmm. and they're more concerned about hurting the feelings of their gay-identified loved ones than truth going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of pastors are dealing with. They're dealing with members of the church or, you know, extended family members, and so it's becoming quite a conflict in the church.
Yeah. Do you guys have resources there on your First Stone's website, right?
Yeah, firststone.org, and then godsvoice.us. It's to parallel the revoice.us conference site. So godsvoice.us is the conference site, and then First Stone, all spelled out, firststone.org. We have lots of articles, videos, resources for people to get help.
Okay, so if someone can't make the conference in Oklahoma City, they can go to firststone.org and get some resources. Like if they have a loved one who is gay-identified or transgender-identified, they have resources there?
Absolutely.
That they could access. Okay. Okay, so the conference and where you can register is godsvoice.us. That's the conference information, schedule, speakers, and registration, information about hotels and such. And Stephen's ministry website is firststone.org. And I do encourage our listeners to check into this conference. It sounds like a great conference with the speakers and the various topics that they'll be addressing. It's something the church needs to hear and to take to heart, because right now we are in a battle for the souls of these individuals who are being misled by these so-called Christian leaders who are reinterpreting scripture. So that's godsvoice.us for the conference and firststone.org for Stephen's ministry website. And thanks so much, Stephen, for being part of putting this together, seeing the need for this conference, and for all you worked there, not only in Oklahoma City, but across the country. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on, Diane. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you take care. Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.